From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 671, From SharePoint to PowerPoint with guest Christina Wheeler. Recorded Thursday, December 5th, 2019. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts, LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. Here we are in a new year and a new decade, and talk a little bit about the new SharePoint and all the cool things around that. I have Christina Wheeler with me today. She's a solution architect and technical trainer specializing in Power BI, Power Apps, SharePoint, and the other Microsoft 365 products. And she's a highly respected SharePoint and Office 365 expert who focuses on development, administration, branding, and training. Over 15 years experience in the industry, Christina has knowledge in graphic design, web development, and custom development, and also specializes in enterprise content management and business intelligence. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
This is
good to be here.
Quite a span of stuff. So development as well. Are you just talking about SharePoint development?
Oh, no. I've come from very, very old development.
Ooh. Started, how old is old?
I started on a Texas Instruments, a TI-99 when I was 11.
Love it. Love it. Z80 yep. Processor. Funny. Yeah. There was a Microsoft Basic for it too, as I recall.
You know, so long ago. I remember having the TI-99 plugged into a tape deck, plugged into a small little TV we had.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the big tube, something like that.
With the RCA jack, boy, yeah, and the composite connector. Blah. Yeah, I think that pretty much cost me my eyesight. I was nearsighted after staring at those bad screens for all that time.
Well, you know, and I would sit there and copy code out of a book, a GW Basic book, for hours and hours, just so my brother and I can play cheesy little games.
Yeah. Yeah, so. But it was a game you helped create. Like, that was very powerful, right?
You're like, are you done yet? Are you done yet? No. Yeah. And I just remember line numbers, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Yep, good old Basic.
Well, and debugging that code. Like, did you type this all correctly? Like, I think it actually taught a lot. It taught more about debugging than it did about coding.
Did. Man, it's so long ago. How old am I? Yeah.
So how do you get from the TI-99 to SharePoint? Huh? That's a funny path.
So my background, what is my background? I started going to school for programming and at the time hated it. So mm-hmm. Then I went to school for graphic design, did graphic design, video editing, 3D animation stuff. Then I got bored and then I got into, web development or, you know, basic web stuff. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I've always been one of those types of people where I'll learn as much as I can. And once I can't learn anymore, I'm on to the next thing.
Right.
I could never stick with something that I got bored. It's like, okay, well, HTML, great. Okay, I'm done. Classic ASP. Okay, I'm done. Now what? And then I got into database, into the database side. And so just one of those things where I just would keep transitioning and going further and further in technology. And so I was at the point that I got into SharePoint, I was a .NET developer.
Oh, okay.
I got thrown into SharePoint in the very, very beginning of the product.
So it's like 2007, like those early days?
No, I remember my first exposure to it was when it was Tahoe.
Ah, okay, the old code name.
And then my first project I did for a consulting company was a 2001 project.
Man, that really is the very beginning, the portal server?
Yep. And then when 2007 came out, that's when I started getting into the web content management stuff because I'm like, great. Oh, master pages, page layouts. This is great. I can do this stuff. I was happier with it because it was built off the .NET architecture then. And as far as when you know, with the page layouts and things like that. So that's when I got heavily involved into building web content management sites.
All right. And plus you had the design background. Like all of a sudden, all of those things you did made perfect sense.
Did.
Yeah.
It sure did. So I did that. And so then I became, you know, I did everything from building SharePoint farms to branding SharePoint to building the whole, you know, everything basically. And then I somehow I got identified as an expert in the industry. And here I am.
The power of the MVP. But that, in those old school SharePoint days, when everything was kind of custom. I know it was in theory a platform, but especially if you had programming chops, you did a lot of custom coding into those things. I got to imagine you end up with sort of a cadre of customers that you're responsible for the care and feeding for essentially indefinitely.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when I was completely on-prem, I was very big into, I loved building, creating event receivers and building custom web parts and things like that. I mm-hmm. loved building solutions. And then now, dealing with migrations and stuff, I'm actually more frustrated now when I'm dealing with customers migrating who have a ton of custom solutions.
Well, of course,
because now it's completely swapped. But when I was doing the on-prem stuff, I pushed back on the cloud. I didn't want anything to do with the cloud. I was very happy in my SharePoint server world. I was happy with building farm solutions. And then it shifted. I changed. And but you're right. But I've also been the type of developer. I don't want people to have to depend on me. I want to be able to build solutions and have it be maintainable and manageable. So I still did that approach even when I built custom solutions for customers. But I was also always the type of consultant that I would look at what the requirements are. What can you fit to that out of the box? And then what will have to be custom
right.
to fit those requirements? So that's always the approach I would make with customers. But there are still some, on-prem customers out there. I am dealing with the migration as we speak.
And the migration is to Office 365. I don't imagine there's anywhere else to go.
This customer is very, very highly customized, so we can't go straight to the cloud.
Wow.
What we're doing, I'm migrating them to 2019, and then what we're doing is figuring out what solutions we're going to replace, what we can keep, what can go to Office 365, and then the final product or the final implementation will be migrating them to Office 365. And then I'll probably end up having to do a hybrid implementation with them because some of the things they have, they're going to have to keep on-prem. So we're still figuring that out.
Does it ever make sense to take those VMs and push them up into Azure as IaaS implementations of SharePoint?
No, these customers don't want that cost.
Oh, okay. So they see that as expensive.
Yeah, they don't want that cost.
Interesting.
But it's more of things that they do not want to have. Some stuff they just don't absolutely want exposed in the cloud.
Right.
There's just a number of caveats, but this customer's got a lot of custom solutions.
Hmm.
And so I'm working through with that on them and trying to convince them things that we can replace or get rid of.
I don't know that you can make the argument that your on-prem servers are more secure than the cloud servers.
Yeah, trust me. I know.
But you also know what argument you're going to win and what argument you're not, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as the Azure cost, I can understand that.
Sure.
Because they'll look at to see what it's going to cost them to have their on-prem servers for the hybrid versus if they're going to put their servers in Azure.
Right.
And financially, it just makes more sense for them to still keep the servers they have.
Yeah, right. So right up until those machines need to rotate out, right? Four years in or so when it's now we're looking at a capital expenditure that's probably got two commas in it. Of all this new gear and maybe the data center itself, like that's where the math gets really hard. You start looking at the OpEx cost of VMs and Azure going, this is not that big a deal.
I got to tell you, it's so nice being able just to spin up a VM in Azure though.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's very addictive,
But I will say that, as adamant as I was going to the cloud, I had a hybrid project in the very beginning of when Office 365 became, before it was BPOS,
right,
and then it became Office 365, and customers wanted to go hybrid. And I did a hybrid implementation. It was more of a proof of concept because they wanted to be 30% on-prem, 70% in the cloud. And I told them at that time they need to swap those numbers.
Right.
And at the time I was right. So I had to, I proved it out. And it was such a frustrating project because of just where things were at with Office 365 that I swore off Office 365 projects for an entire year. And so I only would say yes to on-prem projects. Then Power BI came out.
And that sort of changed the whole equation. Because I certainly had the experience in the early days of cloud stuff coming from Microsoft where there were lots of people telling us stories about what could happen and relatively few case studies. There's a lot of hype, but not a lot of work going on. And that's a good time to sort of take a step back and say, I'll let you guys figure out how to actually make this work. Let me know when you got something working.
Well, at that time, customers were heavily dependent on search from a hybrid standpoint.
Sure.
And it took a week for manage properties to come back in Office 365. And I didn't have, you know, I reached out to friends on that. They said, well, Christina, you must have a lot of content. And I said, nope, I have barely any content. I have, you know, just trying to get these display templates all set up. And so that's when this customer was heavily dependent on search. So they ended up staying on-prem for a while.
Right. When your on-prem search is better. I've always think of Power BI as a relatively recent tool, but I just looked it up. It's from 2011, but, you know, I don't think of it as that old. No, it's just, you know, the cloud was barely there. When did you first get involved with Power BI?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. It doesn't even feel like it's been that long. What the heck?
We can't be this old. This is not true.
No. Oh, my goodness. I'm aging. What? You're right. It has 8 years. It's been 8 years?
Yeah.
I can't believe it's been 8 years.
But did you get on board that early?
I started in it. I mean, I wasn't an MVP. I didn't become an MVP until October 2017.
Okay.
So I wasn't an early adopter of things, but as soon as things got released, I would work with them. And I did, I know I started working with it when it first publicly became available.
Yeah, yeah. But GA'd in 2015. So it had a long gestation. I mean, 4 years sort of under the hood. Folks experimenting with it. But was that your first experience in data analytics?
No, I have a big BI background.
Okay. So BI without the power part.
Yep, BI. I was a SQL Server DBA. I used to work with Crystal Reports, Business Objects.
Oh, yeah.
And Oracle.
Great, painful combinations.
Gosh, you know, I forget the things I've done in my past. Until I talk about it.
And OLAP server too?
Yep.
Oh, boy. All right.
I dealt with BI stuff back in the Windows NT days.
Yeah, well, geez, these days, Crystal Reports is an SAP solution. Let's think about that for a moment.
Yeah, I don't touch any of that now.
Well, of course, you have the old .NET shop. So this it used to be Crystal Reports was in the box in .NET back in the day.
So I started .NET when it was beta.
Right.
Yep.
And so
I remember that.
So did you get pulled into the analysis part? Like it just starts out as a reporting solution and then sort of the dynamics kind of picks up that people want to be able to drill and slice and dice?
So I did a lot of work for financial companies. Mm-hmm. And when I did work with them, it was all about financial data and being able to drill through financial data.
Right.
So that was before people were getting on, you know, Dynamics and stuff like that. So yeah, well, but the other thing I did though too was, this was before SharePoint, right? I was still in the mindset of automation, where mm-hmm. I remember working for a company that got bought up by Capital One. And what it was they had these processes, even IT processes that were extremely manual, paper printed. And so I created .NET, online .NET forms for them to fill out. And I would have it, you know, I would do mapping to PDFs and just kind of automate processes. Things that SharePoint and Power Apps and Office 365 can do now were things that I was creating in .NET solutions.
Sure.
Before, you know, SharePoint and everything else came out.
I've often articulated this idea to non-tech people when they're trying to understand what technology will do for them. It's like, there's really only two things. It's either automation around line work. So person used to be able to process 50 orders a day, now process 200 orders a day, or the instrumentation of the business. Better detailed reporting, fast analysis, like those are measuring the company in more meaningful ways so you can understand and take action on the business.
Yep. So, and I think, you know, I remember I had a boss that told me I couldn't be the jack of all trades. And
we have to specialize?
Which is incorrect because now I became a solution architect. I can be the jack of all trades. The thing is, I know everybody's different. Some people are like my mindset where they just kind of fill every role. And then you have other people that just will fill specific roles. And that's what I love about just Office 365 and everything now. It's just because there's so much that you can do. Now I love being a solution architect. I love being able to come in and seeing what the customer needs and being able to help figure out what are the best solutions that we could, you know, come up with to create an overall product to improve their business. Mm-hmm. Rather, it's, you know, starting from business processes to data automation, you know, to your data analytics and things like that, and just doing it in solution from beginning to end.
Nice. Well, and that's the whole thing as soon as you start focusing on the solution is the technology is kind of secondary to it. Sure, there's going to be some, but what
Agreed.
Technology you use is totally based on, well, what problem are we trying to solve?
Yep. Agreed. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely agree.
I mean, your organization is literally Portal Solutions. So was it, you always come at this, do you see that sort of the portal perspective of how you assemble information for a business into one place?
It could be cross places. I've just always been a solution-minded person.
Right.
And I've never, you know, and it was always, sometimes Microsoft's not the best product for them, right? Sometimes it's a different product.
Well, now
right?
You're talking heresy there, Christina. Come on.
I'm just saying that's what my mindset has always been, saying, what are your options?
Right.
What are your problems? Let's see what is going to fit you best. Where I've had customers where Dynamics and Office 365 has been great. I have other customers where Office 365 was perfect for them, but when for their business need, Salesforce made more sense for them.
From a CRM, you know,
did a proof of concept, but the great thing is with Power BI and Power Apps and all of that stuff, you have these connectors into Salesforce, right, and other products. So that way, people that are, you know, you have people working on different products in their enterprise industry. And so they're always going to be on multiple platforms. So now what I love about Office 365 and just Microsoft 365 is that you have this connectivity now that you can do and build solutions between all the different platforms.
That's pretty awesome. And Christina, I'm going to interrupt for one moment for this very important message. If keeping up with the growing amount of security patches and managing complex Microsoft in-place upgrades are becoming a pain point within your IT department, Barramundi Management Suite is the solution. The Barramundi Management Suite gives you real-time lifecycle management of all network endpoints, from classic Windows and Mac to iOS and Android devices. Barramundi software automates time-consuming tasks, including Windows migration, software installation, inventory, and backup. Whether you manage IT for a small company or a global corporation, Barramundi optimizes endpoint management, frees time for new projects, and reduces IT costs. Check out www.barramundisoftware.com to receive your Run As Radio 25% discount and info for a 30-day trial. And we're back. It's Run As Radio. I'm Richard Campbell. That's Christina Wheeler. And we're talking about, I guess, the evolution of this sort of reporting and analytics business that we got into from on-premise moving into the cloud, although that's not a goal by itself. What do you see as the emphasis reason to move stuff to the cloud?
Well, I will say as a consultant, I love not being responsible for servers anymore.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. And so it's somebody else's fault when there's an outage.
When something goes down, I don't have to be up all night working on it. I love that.
Well, in the end, you can't work on it anyway. Other than filing a complaint, you can already see they're working on it. It's like all you can do is report back and say they're working on it.
Pretty much.
Not that the cloud seems to go down much these days.
You know what? What I really love about the cloud now too, just even from a desktop standpoint, Windows 10, or even if I'm on multi-platforms, I had a vendor put me on a Mac. And so now I have one of my new developer machines is a MacBook. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that I've got everything syncing, OneNote, OneDrive, everything. And I have OneNote on my phone, on the computers. It's just this is where I've fully embraced the cloud, because right, I can access all my content, no matter what device or what computer I get on. That I absolutely love.
And I think it speaks to this sort of reality of ubiquitous computing. Here we are in another decade, you know. You're always going to have multiple devices. That's just normal. And you're only going to have more. The trick is, yep, can your stuff appear on whatever device you're touching?
Yep.
And I guess you're a heck of a good reason to get to the cloud, because I think, you know, you like it that much. I got to think your customers like that same sort of effect of, doesn't matter where I go, I have access to this stuff.
They do. Well, then I also have customers that are paranoid about the cloud.
Sure.
Where they are afraid, they want to turn off so many different features. They're worried about user adoption. They're worried about what their employees are going to do. And so that's where the whole change management comes into place of, one, trying to educate the customer on, you know, the things that you can do and help them embrace it so they're not as scared. I have others, you know, that have been afraid of, they're just paranoid to put anything in the cloud. And that's where I've tried to argue, I started showing customers that maybe we're on SharePoint Online and have Office 365, but right, they still have Exchange on-prem, everything else, yeah, on-prem. And then they start to realize the things that they're losing out on, mm-hmm, by not being integrated into the cloud.
Yeah, well, Microsoft's done a good job of all the new features show up in the cloud product first. So
Yep.
You do miss out. And some products just make no sense anywhere else. Like that's sort of an interesting truth. And it's interesting you have customers resisting too, because I do think there's sort of a cadre of SharePoint people who've just chosen to stick with on-premise solutions too. So
there is, and there still are. I mean, you're still going to have some customers out there that are going to refuse to move to the cloud.
Yeah. So it's just a shrinking market effect, right? There'll be fewer people involved in that space and fewer customers. So as long as you can, you know, keep finding the folks, you can ride out your career on on-premises SharePoint.
Yeah. Somewhat, but though I'm having customers who told me they were never going to move to the cloud,
right,
and now have reached out and said, Christina, it's time. Can you help us migrate?
Yeah. I got to think it's that hardware buy, right? When the next rev of hardware comes around and you get that quote for, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of gear, and you're like, how much cloud can you get with this?
Well, and I think I see it too when customers will work with vendors who are completely in the cloud,
right,
and realize the things that they're losing out on, and then maybe the workaround implementations they've had to do to have communications, you know, a collaboration between themselves and the vendor.
Yeah.
So I'm also seeing that too, where they're starting to explore it again because they're seeing what other companies are actually doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And seeing that they are missing opportunities and that the products that they want to use are cloud only now or are sold as services. Because I think from a provider's perspective, we like software as a service. It allows us continuous updates, continuous payments. So you get rid of that, all that big bang effect of the old style software models.
Yeah, you do. You do. But like I said, the best thing is I don't have to be responsible for the servers.
But then it also means that if you're dealing mostly with customers that are migrating, that is, do you ever get a complete migration or is hybrid just the reality? They always have some stuff on-prem.
No, there's times we have a full migration.
Wow.
Just depends. Now, what, you know, it just depends. But it's more financial companies that are having to go hybrid, or I'm dealing with some property companies that are like property management, and just some of the platforms that they're currently on, they can't do the quick jump. Or, for example, this one customer, they have so many custom farm solutions that they can't just immediately move to SharePoint Online. So I have to do this transition. But they also have this app, and I'm trying to, which I think would be an actually perfect fit for Power Apps. But with the licensing change, they may not want to do it. We'll see.
So the Power Apps is sort of the new hotness now. Is this just a new branding with Power BI and other things under it? Like, what's distinct in what is now they're now calling Power Apps?
So Power Apps, you have this. You have CDS, the Common Data Service. Power Apps originally, from what I understand, came from the Dynamics world.
Right.
So if you build a model-driven app, it's basically Dynamics. When you have a Power App and you're running it through the browser, it's rendered through Dynamics. But Power Apps is, like I said, something that came from the Dynamics world. And it's become this, it's actually extremely powerful. Now, I started working with it in the beginning, and I'm not going to lie, I was very frustrated. And I was frustrated because, I mean, it's like 10 times so awesome and improved from when I started on it. But I mean, if you look at SharePoint was the same way. Mm-hmm. InfoPath was the same way.
Sure.
Started out as one part of a product and then it got better and better. But Power Apps, so you have the whole Power platform and so you do this integration with, you know, first you had Power BI and kind of building your self-service data analytics, right, in the cloud, which you also have your Power BI report server, so you can run on-prem as well. Then you have, you know, before I have a lot of customers that used InfoPath very heavily. And so what I've been working with them on is changing these, recreating these forms that they had in Power Apps and recreating them as actual Power Apps instead. You can't migrate from InfoPath to Power Apps, but you can rebuild this stuff. But just the advantages with, you know, Power Automate, which I still call it Flow, but Power Automate, just the, you know, before you had workflow in SharePoint and you can automate business processes, but you still were limited. And if you wanted to integrate with other systems, you had to build custom workflows, Visual Studio workflows, or use third-party products. Well, now with the whole Power Platform, I have automation where I could have data in SharePoint, or I can even have it in Dynamics, have a form that users update in Power Apps, and then I could, you know, I might have a form that would get send the data to SharePoint and then go through an approval flow. And then if it gets approved, then I might write data back into Dynamics or SQL Server or SharePoint, anything, or all three at the same time.
Where does Microsoft Forms fit into this?
So Microsoft Forms is more, there's like surveys where you want to capture some data, but not, you don't want to have, you don't, you know, it's more for data capturing for simple data.
Okay.
So something that you might have done a SharePoint survey before, you would could use a form to do that.
Okay. But yeah, when now, it seems to get more sophisticated, now you go to Power Apps.
Yes, yes. Now you I could still have things, data captured in a form and in forms. And then what happens is that gets submitted and gets saved as an Excel file.
Right.
So then what I can do is I can actually have a flow in Power Automate that extracts that data from the Excel files. And then I can input that into somewhere else, SharePoint, or I can even just have my Power App where I pull that, extract that data through to do certain things and then have some business process in that form from, you know, the Power App. I mean, there's just so much you can do, which you can see why I'm passionate about it.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, absolutely. There's also this whole movement around sort of the quote-unquote citizen developer, sort of the non-technical person building this stuff, which I think yes. Microsoft Forms is a good job. That was, you know, the claim to fame of InfoPath too, right? And the SharePoint designer was really, this is a non-technical person was able to do quite a bit with that. What does that, this suite look like to a non-technical person?
Well, so Power Apps, I will tell you, Paul Colmsey, his daughter, Ashley Colmsey, she's amazing. She, unless I was wrong, I believe she was 17 when she taught herself Power Apps. Hmm. And she built her first Power App, and now she teaches Power Apps nice. With her dad. And it's awesome. And so Brian Dang works for Microsoft. He was a math teacher and started, you know, he learned Power Apps, taught himself Power Apps and used it to empower his students. And now he works for Microsoft. So you have people that were not developers that can fully sit down and pick this up. And, you know, you'll have some, I mean, it's formula based. Power Apps is sure. formula based. And if you can, if you're comfortable with Excel formulas, it's very easy to pick up. And, you know, you can get very advanced, but I'm seeing so many non-developers pick up the product, teach it to themselves and get better and better.
So where does an expert like you fit into this equation then?
So where I fit in this equation is for Power BI, I started getting into developing Power BI custom visuals.
Right.
I just got introduced to the Power Apps component framework. So now I'm looking at developing my own components for mm-hmm. Power Apps. Mm-hmm. So from as the developer standpoint, that's where I'm kind of fitting in. But also, I mean, I could fit in at all levels of it. But then the other side is with my graphics background, I'm able to really not only create the, you know, do the data modeling for Power BI, but build a nice visual report, do custom visuals as needed, but plus also make the branding of the actual report look good. And same with Power Apps. I'm working on, I started throwing together sessions to help people that I want to start doing on really educating people on working with the UI within Power Apps and how they can make their Power App UI better.
Nice.
You know, because you've got people that, yes, you create, you add the components, you add the formulas to it, but let me help from a branding standpoint to make your help you make your Power BI more visual. So I'm loving it because I'm able to use all aspects of my knowledge and experience and help improve, you know, the different parts of the products that way from a customer solution standpoint.
Well, and I think that's, you know, it almost sounds like the old school SharePoint problem too, where there's lots of people who just stood up SharePoint by installing it and going with the sort of defaults. And yep. You had this proliferation of stuff from the citizen developer, the citizen contributor. And then you needed some experts to come in, sort of put some governance around it, get a little more organized, get the branding straightened out, figure out where duplication was. Like that's, it sounds like we may be going into the same situation with Power Apps.
So, well, you know, Power Apps, before, if you wanted to have an app that can be do things that Power Apps does, you would have had to have been a developer or hire right. a developer
yes.
that would create a Visual Studio solution for you. The benefit of Power Apps is that you don't have to be a Visual Studio developer.
Right.
You don't have to be someone that knows code.
Yeah. And you don't own a copy of Visual Studio. It's not necessary.
Yeah. You don't have to touch any of that. What you're doing is you're building powerful apps. Now, InfoPath... You know, I've had users use InfoPath to do a lot of stuff, but mm-hmm. there were still so many limitations. a lot of limitations. And so
it had a short lifespan. It was like 3 years beginning to end. But again, it's like when you put that in the hands of office people that just are building content, I think a lot of stuff got made in InfoPath and then just got sort of abandoned.
Well, I thought it came out with Office 2003.
Yeah, I don't think it's that old. There was stuff back then, but it, you know, and it's
no, so there was. There was InfoPath 2003.
Oh, wow. Okay.
2007, so 2010, and 2013. Yes, there was, because I did work with it.
Right.
So, yep, 2003 up to 2013.
Oh, okay. And the final release was in 2013.
But it was InfoPath 2007 that people really started using.
Yeah, sure. And it's still nominally supported on premises, right? They stopped putting it into Office back in 6-7 years ago. But
right. Like, if you want to work with it, you have to install the 2013 version.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get customers off of it.
Well, and nominally there's support out for another, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. So, but yeah, it definitely seems like that's a strategy for migrating away. It's interesting that there has never been a tool built to sort of turn InfoPath work into Power Apps work. Clearly, Power Apps is the superset. It should be able to do everything in there.
Well, what you have is the InfoPath, you know, they're XML files.
Right.
And so, you know, I didn't think about that. I mean, there's things you can build. I mean, so you've got InfoPath, which is XML, then you have Power Apps, which is not.
Right.
It's not XML files, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you look at the SharePoint framework and things like this, you got a lot of TypeScript, JavaScript, JSON files and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's different, but there's ways to extract XML. So, you might be giving me an idea.
There you go. Something to explore. It's just a question of how many, at the same time, I got to imagine you simply sitting down and working, going through workflows of people of what they've done with InfoPath, because now it's been a few years too, and said, like, how can we re-architect this? What existing CMS and other products can take this work on directly? It all seems like solutions work. Like, you just have to go figure out what the new solution looks like.
Definitely what it is. Yeah.
Well, you don't sound like someone stuck in the past of SharePoint.
No, not anymore. Well, you know, and I will tell you from the cloud standpoint of SharePoint Online, when I first started doing migrations, I was extremely frustrated. I used to teach end user SharePoint, and I stopped. And I stopped because I got frustrated because if you had your classic team sites, and this mm-hmm. is when modern wasn't fully rolled out, but it was partially rolled out, and having not only have people new to SharePoint, trying to have them wrap their head around classic versus modern,
right.
Or where they're in classic and then they go to the setting and then all of a sudden they have a modern interface. It was extremely frustrating for me as a trainer. And things changed too quickly that it was hard for me, because we used to do courseware material. It was easy to do courseware material with on-prem SharePoint. Sure. But once you start going to the cloud, you're going to have problems. The app launcher showed up the morning I was teaching a class for Delta Airlines.
Wow. Right. Well, this is also when you get in this modern software mode where there's always new features all the time. I mean, how do you maintain courseware when every single time you teach the class, stuff has changed?
Yep, exactly. So that's, you know, that's why I'm enjoying doing more workshop styles, mm-hmm. and maybe have guides for them and some labs. Ted Pattison, I do training for Ted Pattison.
Wow.
For Critical Path Training. And we do, I mean, we have courseware material, but thankfully he's been so good about keeping up with it, because I'm a consultant and a trainer and speak at conferences. So time is one of my biggest issues, but things change. Power Automate, I've already gone through and taught a class, and we're having to go update screens already again, because I still have some old Microsoft Flow, screens in there, versus having the Power Automate. Some of the interfaces change a little bit with your steps. So those are things we have to keep up with.
That's awesome.
But,
you know, I did a show with Pattison back in 2011.
Oh, wow.
You know, back in the height of the SharePoint world. And you know, that was his business, right? It's amazing how all of that stuff's evolved.
So now he teaches, his main focus. I'm doing beginning Power Apps and Power BI. He's doing all the advanced stuff, the more advanced Power Apps and more advanced dev stuff for, you know, I learned how to build custom visuals for Power BI through him.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I'm looking at the Power Apps overview page.
Yep.
And it says, you know, it sort of focuses on three areas: highly tailored applications, sophisticated apps with your data, and low code portals. This looks like SharePoint circa 2010. These were the three things that they told you SharePoint could do for you back then.
Good point.
It's really interesting. Now, granted, they're doing it in the more modern way on the cloud with a diversity of devices, the phone, the tablet, the PC. But those three things are the same three problems we've been addressing in business for decades. This just is the new way, but it's the same problem space, just with some more demands on it.
Well, it's having other technologies and other solution options, right? Yes. To me, I see these as all a piece of the puzzle, as you talked about. We're going solution-based for building solutions for customers, you know, leaving out what the technology is first. What is their business need and what do we need to address? And then looking at that and going, okay, what are the tools we're going to use to implement and build a solution to fit those needs and to improve the business?
Well, and allow different pieces to be expert. Like, we certainly had a wave of SharePoint for a time there where every Microsoft product depended on SharePoint in some way. It got kind of unruly,
right?
It did. Source control and CMS and on and on and on. So I do like this idea that you like Salesforce, use Salesforce. It integrates in. You like SAP, use SAP. It integrates in. Like, that mindset of allow the experts and the trained up products to continue to function as part of this bigger whole. In some ways, you're going to stitch these bits together better with Power App.
Well, and then this is where it's funny. I was actually pushing back on the Common Data Service at first. And then a friend of mine, Keith, did a presentation in at Thrive Conference in Slovenia recently. And I don't know if I say that country right. Oh, man. But
Slovenia.
I love it.
Slovenia. Close enough.
I always said that, but someone corrected me recently. But Slovenia. But I saw his presentation on the Common Data Service, and I just was like, wow, okay. First, it improved so much from when I first started with CDS, and I can see how that can become the core thing for bringing in data. So it's your Common Data Service, and you could bring in all these different data. You have this entity, and you're bringing in your set of data where I can have pull in my data from Dynamics, pull in my data from SharePoint, pull in data from SQL, right? And have this central location here and then have my apps built around that.
Amazing. Great. It's a great idea and a great way of just sort of managing
overall.
People were
going all SharePoint. They were either doing SQL or they were doing SharePoint.
Right.
And then I had people would have their data heavily reliant in SharePoint, which I've done it. I built a lot of applications against SharePoint data. But this case now, SharePoint isn't becoming that main source anymore that it used to be. Now SharePoint's becoming more of your intranet scenarios again, or for, you know, I think SharePoint's shifting its role.
Yeah.
Still heavily involved, but the role is shifting somewhat.
Yes. And it seems somewhat narrowed too, which is probably a good thing.
Well, so before you had, I will say the modern was a shift for me because coming from the web content management side and having all that custom branding experience and all that, it's different. The whole branding's different. They're like, you're more focused on out of the box now than you are with customizing. Now, if you need something that's going to be customized, you actually have to do SharePoint framework or run some PowerShell, you know, different things like that. So there is a shift in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I'm using it more. I use SharePoint Online now more for my communication with vendors. I have vendors that want to email me left and right. So I create a quick site for them and say, hey, I'm giving you external access to this. Let's collaborate in here.
Nice.
So I'm doing that now on a per project basis I'm using it more for things that I didn't use it for before. That makes sense. I mean, I implemented it for customers all the time, but I realized I never used it really the way they did. And now I am.
That's pretty cool. Well, Christina, this is a fun tour, and I really get a sense of that sort of evolution of the SharePoint problem to the Power Apps problem. It's obviously taking time for Microsoft to get all the bits together too, but it sure feels like it's cooked now.
Well, and then you have Teams.
Right.
So you got Microsoft Teams, and you have this whole transition now where, you know, Skype for Business is being replaced by Teams.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed Ignite. It was my very first Ignite.
Mm-hmm.
not only did I do booth duty and demos, I got to speak and be a part of Todd McKinsey's podcast. It was just a great experience. Wiped me out, but was a great experience. A
lot of work.
What was so great was I was able to see, so I did work the Microsoft Teams Power Platform booth, and I really enjoyed that experience because what I was able to do was show attendees how you can have, I can have my BI reports leveraged directly within Teams. I can have my Power App leveraged directly within Teams, mm-hmm. and how Teams kind of becoming the central location for the users to interact in, but then having all those different elements and Office 365 products being surfaced inside of Teams.
Right. So it's your Teams becomes the collaboration center.
Correct.
And the and then the other tools sort of hang off of that, but it becomes effectively the portal.
Yes, correct.
That's very cool.
Something like that, where it's becoming that, you know, before you were users were having to click out. They either would be in Teams or in SharePoint and they're clicking out. But now I can have my SharePoint tab within Teams. I can have my Power BI tab within Teams. I can actually have a link on the left menu of Teams to my actual Power App because there's options now you can actually download and import it into your Teams. So it's just, it's, you know, I still think we have a long ways to go, but just the innovation and being a part of that innovation to me is extremely exciting.
Absolutely.
Because I'm seeing where it started and where it's going and where it's going to continue to head. And it's, in my opinion, it's going to just get better and better.
Yeah, I can't argue with you there. This seems like we've come to the next stage of this and certainly made the cloud and the diversity of devices a part of it. And it's neat to hear, you know, someone immersed in the SharePoint world saying, hey, all this new stuff's awesome.
It is. It really is. It makes me want to stay in technology.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Christina, thanks so much for coming on the show. Really a fun conversation.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.